Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view, all that I can say.
Yes, my friends, it's time for story time in the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. I'm going to share with you something I wrote in 2018. It's a reprise of that. It's called Life is Short. And now that I'm reading it in 2023, life is even shorter. I am reading a story about the end of the world right now, and it got me thinking about how life is short and about how we need to make the most of it. The book I'm reading is part of a trilogy about the end of the world, told from the perspective of a cop in New Hampshire. In this story, the people of Earth have 3 to 4 months to prepare for the end of the world because a big asteroid is coming and it's going to blast the Earth to smithereens, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. Different characters in this book react in different ways to impending doom. Certain groups decide to abandon everything and live a life of absolute licentiousness for a few months. Others do what is called going bucket list, where they spend the last 4 months of their lives satisfying all of their most unfulfilled ambitions. What would you do if your world was going to end in 4 months? Would you run away? Would you plant a tree? Would you quit your job and sleep in every day? And then I saw an old movie about 5 girls from the same family who all commit suicide, and I thought that could be a way out of the 4 months to live dilemma. If the idea of waiting until the world ends in some horrible way is too much to bear, you could simply end things early. One of my friends at the radio station suggested ending it all by tying a deflated child's wading pool over your head with a sturdy belt and then feeding a tube of helium into the area where your face should be. Now, this concept seems problematic to me. Suppose that right in the middle of your suicide, you change your mind and you decide that you want to live. You would end up screaming for help in a really high, squeaky helium voice, and then no one would know it was you and you wouldn't get any assistance. So it seems like a bad idea to me. Anyway, I don't have any of the things that I would need, either a wading pool or a sturdy belt or a helium tank, though I suppose I could get them if I needed to, though they would probably be in short supply if the world was going to end. And then right after seeing the old movie about the 5 suicides, I saw a completely insane movie about a guy in Hong Kong who figures out that he has a bad illness and he has only 6 months to live. And he decides not to burden anyone with this news and to face his impending demise alone. So instead, he spends the whole movie chasing after a beautiful girl with a scar on her face who seems to hold the key to his salvation, but in the end is just an unhappy girl with a scar on her face. The movie had lots of symbolic scenes that were very suggestive and allegorical, scenes of fish with pulsating hearts being hacked to death, and scenes of rabid Rottweilers running on treadmills. That movie also made me think about what I would do if my life was suddenly cut short and I had to make decisions about whether I should chase a girl around Hong Kong or stay on the treadmill of life or to perhaps lacerate some poor metaphorical fish with a meat cleaver. And that made me think that once again we have that same crazy lunatic with the orange face running for president. That if he wins again, I might have to move to a duck blind in the Olympic National Forest with only a rifle and some packets of freeze-dried food, and I would have to fight the government. The government would, of course, send a crack team of Green Berets after me, which would include my only brother, who would, in the end, confront me face to face and mano a mano and eyeball to eyeball, and he would be forced to make the ultimate decision, whether to do his duty to his country and bring in his only brother, or to instead let me live out my final days in the forest, picking my teeth with pine needles and fashioning robes made out of squirrel pelts. However, this too sounds like a sad ending to a bad movie that we've all seen too many times before. And that also reminded me that life is short and we need not to waste it. When I was a kid, if you asked me what I'd like to be when I grew up, I would always say that I wanted to be a cowboy and a fireman and the president. In my mind, I would bundle all of the jobs that seemed coolest to me into one big dream existence and imagine that somehow I could live that out. Back then, I thought that the world was my oyster, as they say. Now, many decades later, I sit here contemplating the end of the world as I know it. Many things have happened between then and now. I have eaten many oysters, and I have had many experiences. I have even met some firemen and some cowboys and some presidents of obscure organizations, and they seem no happier than me, and they are no more likely to survive the end of the world than I am. In conclusion, I say that whoever you are and whatever you do, whether you are rich or poor, a saint or a sinner, whether you are a fugitive who lives high in the limbs of a mighty oak tree with a squirrel as your only companion, or you are the CEO of a giant firm that manufactures little insects with cameras in them, I say this to you. Live life to its fullest. Live life to its fullest, for it is never too late to be who you might have been yesterday, tomorrow. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.